Kiora, and welcome everybody to this week's edition of Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson and you're listening to Manawatu People's Radio. And I'm pleased this morning to be able to welcome my friend and also guest on the programme, Imtiaz. So, morning Imtiaz, how are you?
Morning Lorna, thank you for having me.
thank you for taking time out to come and do the show, I appreciate it. So, I'll hand it over to you to just introduce yourself and just tell people a little bit about yourself to start with. Although I guess lots of people know you.
So my name is Imtiaz and I came from India about 24 years ago. And before coming to New Zealand, I went to Fiji, worked there for about a year there.
Right.
In 97. And after coming here, I arrived in New Zealand about in 1998, and as soon as I arrived, my dad passed away, and I couldn't make it back to India for his funeral. But it was an easy journey. When I came as IT, but I was struggling to find a job in the IT industry.
Right.
So I took the job at this New World in Wellington.
Right.
And I was pushing trolley. So that's how it started.
Right.
And then
my
boss picked it up that he's more capable than just pushing the trolleys.
Right.
And he kept giving me different tasks every month. And I was within 6 months, I was managing the New World there.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
that's a that's a fantastic story.
And then when I had a breakthrough with my IT work, I joined Fujitsu Southmark and I was doing contracting work for different sites like Enzafruit, Ministry of Justice, Tata Mail, and things like that. But it was all contracting work, so wasn't giving my family a stability to do anything. And then we ended up finding a business here in Palmerston North, and that's how we moved here back in 2002. Yeah.
And I think that that's a fantastic example of just being prepared to take what you can get to start with and then showing your worth in a job,
exactly,
isn't it? You
exactly. Know? So just take any opportunities comes to your way and it opens many other doors to you.
Mm.
Yeah.
So when you bought the business in Palmerston North, that's when you and the family all moved here together from Wellington at that point?
Yes, because in Wellington, my wife was working at the Victoria University and I was doing this contracting work. And then we had our first baby and he was not settling in the childcare or anything.
Right.
And we had to change our shift. She used to come home and I used to go to work. So it wasn't working. And so we should be doing something different, which will allow us to do both together. And then this business opportunity came up and I thought, oh, this is much better. While managing the business, we can still look after the kids as well.
Yeah. So it was sort of a lifestyle decision really in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what year was that then that you came to Palmerston North?
So I moved to Palmy in 2002.
Right. Okay.
So we bought a little dairy shop on the College Street.
Mm-hmm.
In we realized that dairy shop had already some ethnic food and some island food in this. But we realized that many people are missing out on their ingredients, key ingredients and things like that. And they had to go to Wellington and things. So we started to expand our shop, bringing in more and more products in. But we were running out of space and things like that. So we had to renovate the whole thing again because the building was too old to just do the renovation. So had to start from scratch. So we demolished the whole thing and rebuilt in 2006.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people in Palmerston North will remember that. I mean, I certainly remember that. And the dairy became very well known for being where you go to get your ethnic food, basically, didn't it?
Yeah. And we had our first stance, like we were the first dairy to stop selling the cigarettes.
Yes, that's
and,
right.
And that gave us a lot of community members that And they supported us with our decision.
So people who agreed with that stance, they came to support you more.
Because we lost a big chunk of revenue from the cigarettes. So it's for any dairies, it's like from $10,000 to $15,000 just they make on the cigarettes.
Right.
Individual. It's not much profit, but it's the turnover.
Yeah, and it brings people in.
Brings people in.
So I guess that was a bit of a risk that you took there, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. It wasn't fitting well with my ethics and what I used to see during the school hours, because there is a school across the road and parents used to spend a lot of money on cigarette, but when child used to ask for a cookie, they used to refuse it and things like that. And then another thought came in my mind that, can I sell this to my children, you know?
Right. That's a very good
thought. If I'm making profit on something which is harming people, can I sell this to my children?
Yeah.
So that was the thing. It wasn't fitting with my own ethics.
Yes, and
I had to stop that.
Yeah, and I do remember at that stage there was a little bit of publicity about it, wasn't there? I remember there were some newspaper
TV
articles
NZ
about
came
it.
Yeah, and we were on 6 p.m. news. Yeah.
So you're sort of a world famous in Palmerston North, aren't you, really?
Yeah, I had no clue what to do. They came with all the cameras and all in the shop. Yeah. And so, it was the Palmy who got on the TV about smoke-free thing. And
but that's good, because I think I did give people a little bit of a pause for thought about, you know, we accept these things as being normal, but do they have to continue like this, or could we change
this? I mean, I shown them the example that you can replace those things with other things.
Yeah.
You don't have to rely on cigarettes.
No.
So
what was it like then back in 2002 when you first came to Palmerston North with your wife and young family? Can you remember what it felt like arriving in Palmerston North?
It was really quiet compared to Wellington.
Right,
And every time I used to go to Toops or something to get my things for the shop, and I used to get lost because of all the intersections were similar.
Yes, because it's on a grid pattern.
But it was really quiet compared to now, what we have grown over the 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
We've gone very diverse and a lot of community help around there as well. So it was different experience at that time.
And were there any challenges for you settling in Palmerston North, or did you find friends and a community that you could fit with quite quickly?
I made some friends at the mosque when I came, and then started to make friends at the shop when I used to talk to my customers who were from different backgrounds and from different countries. And that's how I ended up volunteering with the refugee services and then to New Zealand Red Cross in helping refugees settling in when they're coming out.
And you ended up working for Red Cross in the end, didn't you?
So after I leased my business in 2016. I ended up working for New Zealand Red Cross to use my networking to get former refugees into work.
Yeah.
So I worked for New Zealand Red Cross as an employer liaison for 4 years.
And of course, you already knew so many people in the community.
Yes.
You had lots of contacts and lots of relationships. So I guess in a way, having the business made it a bit easier for you to meet people and get to know people in the community, would you say?
Yes. So it's I always worked two jobs since I arrived in New Zealand. So while I was running the shop,
you're a hard worker.
I was actually working as a halal auditor as well.
Right,
and
that's
I was
right, yes.
managing the Lower North Island. That's from Gisborne to New Plymouth and down to Wellington.
Because I remember you were often traveling.
And every time I used to travel, I meet the communities in different cities, and that's how I built up my network around the country.
Yeah.
And I had all my connection with the meat plants and food processing plants and things like that. And I used that network to get our refugees into work as well. So a lot of them are working at Ovation Fielding or EFCO and Turks Poultry and things.
Oh, that's good. So you've been a bit of you've had what we call a portfolio career.
Yes.
You know, you've done lots of different things, and you've been prepared to, you know, change direction.
Yes.
For what suits at the time for you and the family, haven't
definitely,
you, really?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So first thing was when I came here in Palmy, I attended the first funeral in New Zealand here in Palmerston North.
Right.
It was a doctor at the army who died, and I attended his funeral. And at that funeral, I saw the family paying a big amount of money to the funeral director. And at that time, thought came in my mind that if this happens to my family, I don't have that money to pay.
Yeah.
And that's when I started fundraising and got involved with the Manuadu Muslims Association. And we got our own equipments and then ended up buying our own plots at the cemetery as well. So we have the unique funeral service in Manuadu for Manuadu Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
It's from transportation to burial. Everything is free of charge.
That's a wonderful service, really.
Yeah.
And so you're involved in that personally, aren't you?
Yes.
That's part of your, if you like, community service?
Yes. So I do that funeral services here, and I'm also working with other regions now to have the similar system in their region.
Right.
So we just finished with Nelson. And
and of course, I guess as well, and correct me if I'm wrong, that local funeral directors, although doing their best, wouldn't quite understand the cultural requirements of a Muslim funeral,
exactly.
Whereas you're able to provide that. Would that be right?
Yes, yes. So in religiously, we bury our loved ones as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So, and we don't do embalming and things like that. It's natural burial and things like that. So those are the things. And it came handy, that experience, when the Christchurch thing happened.
Yeah.
And we went there to assist with the funeral services there as well. Yeah.
That's right. What we'll do is we might just stop now and take a musical break, and we'll come back and perhaps talk more about that if you want to, but if not, obviously I understand too. So we'll just take a wee break at that point.
ऐ दिल है मुश्किल जीना यहाँ जरा हट के जरा बच के ये है बॉम्बे मेरी जान कहीं बिल्डिंग कहीं ट्राम में कहीं मोटर कहीं मिल मिलता है यहाँ सब कुछ एक मिलता नहीं दिल कहीं बिल्डिंग कहीं ट्राम में कहीं मोटर कहीं मिल मिलता है यहाँ सब कुछ एक मिलता नहीं दिल इंसान का नहीं कहीं नाम और निशान जरा हट के जरा बच के ये है बॉम्बे मेरी जान दिल मुश्किल जीना यहाँ जरा हट के जरा बच के ये है बॉम्बे मेरी जान कहीं सट्टा कहीं पत्ता कहीं चोरी कहीं रेस कहीं डाका कहीं फाका कहीं ठोकर कहीं ठेस कहीं सट्टा कहीं पत्ता कहीं चोरी कहीं रेस कहीं डाका कहीं फाका कहीं ठोकर कहीं ठेस बेकारों के हैं कई काम यहाँ
Right, we are back on Making Palmy Home and with my guest today, Imtiaz. So before the break, Imtiaz, you mentioned that you had been involved with your funeral service, community service that you had developed for the Manawatu Muslim Association, that you'd been involved with the Christchurch terrorist attack. So, I mean, I don't want to go too much into that. It was a very traumatic experience, I'm sure. But is there anything that you want to talk to us about that experience?
I mean, it was a very unique experience. 8 days at the funeral home with 60 volunteers there. And it's amazing how New Zealanders reacted at that time to, and how they helped us with their support. And like in Christchurch, businesses gave us a lot of things just for free.
Gifted stuff.
As soon as they came to know this is for the funeral and things like that, they didn't even charge us anything. Yeah, so there was the kindness. We was very humble with that all. Yeah, that was a unique experience. Yeah.
So you were down in Christchurch helping prepare people for burial.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, we from the receiving bodies to preparing and meeting with the families and things like that.
And making sure all of the, correct things were done.
Yes.
To give the family some comfort around the burial, I suppose.
Exactly. And it was very traumatic for family as well. So,
yeah.
Plus family were waiting to see their loved ones for 2-3 days. And
yes. And so I remember that the process was quite drawn out and that would have been very stressful.
Yes, it was very stressful because no one had experienced this before. And it was hard for people to understand the process of forensic and things like that. And
because there was the need for, I guess, evidence gathering for future criminal proceedings and so on.
Yes.
And how did you yourself cope with this traumatic experience?
To be honest, when I was doing the funeral services and when I was at the funeral home for the 8 days, I spent there with other volunteers and I was coping well until I came home and started watching TV.
Right.
So that's when it hit me.
Right. So it was a delayed reaction. Yeah. So while you were in the moment, you were focusing, I guess, on what you were having to do.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the important thing for me to do at that time? And I was watching, not watching any media or following any media at that time, but when I came home and it was just repeatedly going on TV and at that time it hit me,
And how did you cope with that yourself? Did you just call on your own resources? Did you have someone to talk to?
My work gave me the break at that time, but I told them that I want to be at work.
Right,
to distract my mind. I want to be busy. So I went back to work and that's how I went through and I put the limit on the media, social media and things like that to avoid that repetitive things because what they were showing on TV, I had dealt with them personally at the funeral home. Yeah.
And I suppose that kind of keeping your mind busy is something that people do use, to try and to get through difficult periods. But so 60 volunteers, that's it. And they were from all over New Zealand, I think.
All over the New Zealand. And even some of them were from Melbourne and Sydney.
Right.
Yeah.
They came over to help.
Help, yeah.
Well, I mean, you had a very important role to play. And you know, I think it's encouraging for people to hear of the community service that others do that maybe they don't, know about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're very humble about what you do. People wouldn't necessarily have known that that's what you were doing. So,
yes.
So how are you finding your kind of being home in Palmerston North now? Are you finding that you think you're going to stay here permanently? Does it feel like this is home now?
Yeah, this is home. And it was amazing, like living in Palmy, kids used to walk to school. We never had to drop them or pick them up. And it was very handy for everything, and it's actually a nice place for family to bring their children here. And we have all sorts of things here now, so don't can't really miss anything here.
And what about your family back home? Have you been able to travel back much?
Not much. No. Since I came here, my dad passed away, and then mum was by herself because it's just me and my sister.
Right.
So sister was married at the time, so mom was alone, and I had to get my mom here. It was easy for me to get her here, then financially just support from here. I had to get my mom here. So mom's with me since almost 20 years now.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. So you haven't got that concern of her on her own, you know, sort of managing.
Yes. So after that, my sister followed as well, and she came to Pami as well.
Oh, really?
With her family. Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. So really, your family is your family is here. Yeah, so
we all in Pami. Yeah.
So how would you sort of rate Palmerston North, I suppose, on a welcoming scale? Is it a place, do you think, where migrants feel welcome when they arrive?
Definitely. Our council is doing a lot, plus our new ministry has taken a lot of things on board as well. So I guess when I came 24 years ago, since then, it has changed a lot. Yes. There is a lot of help there. Now in a lot of support, in a lot of community activities there to join and socialize as well compared to what it was before.
And we've got a bigger population, a bigger migrant population, I suppose. So there are lots of communities that have got enough people in to organize their own events.
And any group can join any type of activities according to their interests and things like that. So it's lots of options available now. And I think MMC is doing a fantastic job there as well.
The Manawatu Multicultural Council. They're really bringing people together in a good way, I think.
They got now community connectors and all sorts of things to support. They give extra
Expanding the support.
So it's amazing what we have here.
Yes, although I guess there's always room for improvement as well. Yeah. I mean, is there an area you think we should be working on to do a bit better in?
I mean, at this stage, what I think is it relies on the community leaders.
Yes.
How they can convey that services is available to their community.
Yeah, so maybe not everybody's aware of everything that's available to them. Yeah. Yes.
So it's just educating the community leaders that this is available and you have to pass it on to their community.
Yeah, and here's how to access it and here's what's involved.
Where to go and things like that.
Yeah, because I think a lot of thinking back to when, you know, I first arrived in Palmerston North, a lot of the difficulty is through just not knowing stuff. People assume that you know.
We do ask.
But you actually don't know.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure any people arrive in Palmerston North, they go to their local churches and their local communities. And if the leaders are aware of all this thing, they can actually guide them to
those things. That's true. So there's a sort of source of information that people can find
easily. Or it's displayed at the mosque or churches or temples. So that
there's an easy way in, I guess, for people when they arrive. So how about your family? Because they're pretty much grown up now, aren't they? Yeah. Are they feeling at home in Palmy? Do they feel like they're... Like, where's their connection to, I suppose? Because I know my own children, you know, sometimes we brought them here when they were very young. It's interesting to see whether they feel really more like New Zealanders or, in my case, do they feel more connected with England, Ireland, so
So my eldest was born in Wellington.
Yeah.
So the other two born here in Palmy. So they all call themselves Kiwi, but when it comes to our... side, they lean more towards, they call themselves as a Fiji Indian, so they lean more towards mum.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. So is that because it's closer, do you think, or there's more connection to your wife's family?
I guess because they haven't been to India, they haven't seen India, and we have been many times to Fiji because it's much closer to visit and things like that. So, So both of them studying in Palmy, my one at Boys High, and my eldest is doing his mechanical engineering last year at UC.
That's right.
And luckily, when the mosque attack happened, he was not there. Normally, he goes there and for the prayers. And as you know, Sheikh Gamal, he was from Palmerston North as well. So they are attached to him, so they know him. So they mostly go and attend that mosque there.
Yes, no, I do remember because obviously our boys know one another.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing that Charlie messaged me was, you know, that his friend was safe. So I was
So they were running late from their shopping and they ended up praying at the UC mosque. Yeah. So it was lucky because when I got out of the mosque here, he was calling me and said, I'm safe. And so what are you talking
about? You didn't know
about
what he was talking
I had
about.
No idea what happened at that time. When I went to the office and seen all the news and my colleague said, you can go home. And I said, what's happening? So, at that time I came to know.
It was very close to home, wasn't it?
Yeah. Never ever thought of that this could happen here. Yeah.
No, I don't think any of us did, to be honest. It was certainly a bit of a wake-up call.
Yeah.
And I guess it's had some positive effects.
Yeah.
Certainly in terms of, I think, government realising that we need a stronger ethnic communities presence and developing the ministry.
Definitely.
And also, you know, even at council level, like the idea that we need to know one another better, that we all need to know our neighbours better, that we need to not be kind of siloed off, you know. That certainly influences quite a lot of our decision making.
Definitely. Now, I see a lot of ministries are working on the social cohesion and things like that to improve this side of it.
So I think, you know, of course, we never wish for these things to happen in any way, but there are sometimes a silver lining or some positive that comes from it. So I guess we can focus on that.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Well, that might be a nice place just to end. So thank you so much for taking time out to come and do the interview and a really fascinating story that you have of your life and times, I suppose, in New Zealand. So thank you, MTS. Appreciate
it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So everyone, you've been listening to Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson and the podcast is available at npr.nz/show/Making Palmy Home. Cheerio.